Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we're in program number 334. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will show you how at the end of the program. She'll show you four different ways how to receive a copy, a tape copy, or an audio tape copy, or a CD. Please specify which one you want. It's absolutely free. Postage and handling is also free. We have some scripture reading today from Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. We have some music, we have testimonials, and a very strong message from chapter 10 in Mark. So right now, let's go to the throne and ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, we thank and praise your holy name for eternal life. We thank you for showing us that we must not live a life of frivolity, that we're not to be enjoying everyday life here in this world, but we're to be enjoying everyday life in the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of difference between that. Most people, Christianity, there's a great void in their understanding on many of your word, and this is why you've sent me into the world to make every crooked way straight. Well, the Bible has been made so crooked that it's people just don't understand it anymore. And you sent me into the world, Lord, to make everyone know what the true meaning of the Word of God is. There's some people that are still Gentile dogs, and they're attempting to explain the Bible, the History Channel, and other dead people such as that. You stated that if we're not born again of the Spirit, that we're dead, and that the dead doesn't know anything. And all these unsaved people that are trying to explain the Bible says it's impossible for them to explain it because it's only spiritually discerned. And Lord, I pray that you will somehow convict them by your Holy Spirit to stop attempting to teach the Bible. It's amazing how people would never dare to attempt, or they would never attempt to fly a 747 without knowing every detail about it, or that they would ever attempt to send a rocket up into the heavens without knowing every detail about it. And there are many other crafts, such as being a professor in a university. There's so many people, even young and old, they think that they would never think to do such a thing as that. And it's amazing how people, everybody has their opinion or their idea of what the Bible says, and yet it takes years and years of study to know it. This is the most important thing in the world. And people are just making up what they want to believe about how to enter the kingdom of heaven. Lord, I pray that you will, in this message, make every crooked way straight in that regard, that these people that are unsaved, unspiritual, don't understand the scriptures, that they should immediately cease and desist from attempting to teach it, or to even know it so far as their opinion or ideas, but that they become born again of the Spirit and that they learn it the right way. It takes years to be a pilot. It takes thousands of hours to be able to fly a 747. And how much more that people should not attempt to direct people that are, when they are unsaved, they're still Gentiles, dogs, you call them, and the dog cannot do these things, and they're going to be held accountable for it at the judgment bar of God for teaching something that is so ultimately important. Lord, I pray that they will stop these things, teaching these people that like to make up fantasy, such as the Da Vinci Code and all this other garbage that they're teaching. They're teaching that you were buried in a coffin, and when you weren't, you were put in a tomb, and that you were married to a woman, which was absolutely false. And that all the other things that they say about your children here on earth are absolutely false. And they don't know what they're talking about. They know nothing. They're dead. They're Gentiles. They're dogs, according to your word. And they need to become Christians. They need to become spiritual Jews in order for them to have life. Life is, eternal life is the most important thing in the entire world. And I pray, Lord, that they will learn these things and stop them. You, even in your word, a novice who is already born again, it's a sin for them to start teaching the Bible because they're novices. And you stated that through Paul that you suffer not a novice to teach because they'll fall into the same condemnation as the devil. People have a tendency to get puffed up. I can't understand this. Totally dead channel called History Channel and all the other ones that do these things and the news media that comes off to making these great discoveries that they found your casket and that they found out that you were married to Mary Magdalene. This is so disgusting and so horrible for them to teach such things and such condemnation for themselves at Judgment Day. Lord, cause them to cease and desist in the name of Jesus, that souls can hear the truth, the real truth, and that souls can be saved. And Lord, that the church can be set on the right, straight and narrow path, and that they may be strengthened. Lord God, I pray thee in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now we have the Brothers Keepers, which is our quartet, to sing for you, When I Wake Up.
Shout, I'll leave the ground.
When I wake up,
when I wake up.
Praise the Lord. Now those guys could sing. Amen?
Amen.
They hit number one on the national charts in Cashbox, the whole LP. We didn't have it done on CD, but we have it done, I believe, now on CD. We had it remastered at Capitol Records, the Capitol Tower. All right, now we have some testimonials today. Where's the first one from?
From Concepcion, Chile.
Oh, okay.
Respected gentlemen, we would be very grateful from our hearts if you would continue sending us your materials, which have been a very big blessing to many people who give good witness of the external and internal transformation which has occurred in them. We believe that God is achieving great transformations in the hearts of man through His Word. It is for this reason that we solicit you in the love of Christ that you continue sending us these wonderful blessings which change many lives in our country. May God keep and bless you, and may He prosper you in your work and your health. Many blessings from your Latin American brothers. Christ unites us all in one spirit. Rodolfo from Concepcion, Chile.
Yeah, I just can't understand why the people in the world, the Gentiles, the dogs, cannot understand because Jesus said they are dogs. Why? Because they don't do what He says. And if you don't do what God said, now Jesus came in the flesh just like Adam came into the world in the flesh. Adam was the first Adam and Jesus the last Adam. But I just can't understand. They can't understand why there's rioting and crime is rising up to 150% more in the valley here in Los Angeles. And they can't understand why it's rising all over the world. There's more kidnappings of little children and everything. But this would never happen if people accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. People would never do that because it's a sin to be a man stealer, a woman stealer, a human stealer, somebody that steals young boys and girls and gets them loaded on narcotics and drugs, transporting them to these slave labor camps all over the world. And I just can't understand why they don't want to take up the cross of Jesus and follow Him to walk in the Holy Spirit. Now you have another one.
Yes.
Now here you can see that the nation of Chile is starting to repent, and crime will immediately cease and desist if everyone got saved. But the more that we win to the Lord, the better it's going to be for everyone in the world. Because once they're saved, they're not going to be doing drive-by shootings any longer. They're not going to be committing adultery. They're not going to be committing fornication. And some people say, well, I don't see how I could stop from that. Well, the reason that you think that is because you don't have the intensified spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ living in you. All things are impossible without the Lord, but with the Lord, with God, all things are possible. Only believe. And so if you've got a problem, that's your problem. And you may think that everybody's going to lose because you're losing. No, you're the loser. You're a born loser. If you are going to deny the Lord Jesus Christ and you're not going to put the cross to your weaknesses. In other words, if you're not going to walk in the Spirit. And some people just walk around all the time when they hear a gospel message like this. You can see the conviction coming all over their face. And yet, they refuse to repent. They're always learning, but never able, ever able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay, where's the next one from?
From National City, California.
Okay.
May I please have the free booklet of the Messiah and also any free publications? I read the article of Dry Bones in the newspaper.
That's my testimony, Dry Bones, and I also have written another one called The Signs of the Times, which also talk of my testimony. Then what?
It was very powerful. God bless. Thank you again, Tony Lamo, for Dry Bones.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, let's get into the Bible, Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. I give them a little chance here to find that. And I will attempt to read some of this myself. Well, they didn't put the mic over here, so I'll have to let you do it. But I prefer reading myself, even though I don't read as well as I used to, because my eyes have gotten weak. All right, go ahead.
And when he was gone forth into the way.
When he, Jesus, had gone forth. That's why I like to do the reading, is because I explain what I'm talking about. Okay, when he, Jesus, did what?
Was gone forth into the way.
And what is the way? He is the way, and he was being led by the Holy Spirit, because Jesus continually carried the cross. He bore the cross, so he went where the Holy Spirit led him. Okay, and that's what all of us have to do. That means, that's the meaning of take up the cross and follow me. And this is the... We have to experience the cross just like Jesus did. And the cross is the Holy Spirit, where you're denying the Holy Spirit, the intensified seven spirits of God. When they're living in you, all things become possible. You just have to believe that the Holy Spirit is more powerful than your flesh. You just have to believe that Jesus walked by the Holy Spirit, and he said that we must drink the same cup that he drinks of. In other words, we must drink the Holy Spirit. We must drink heavenly water, which is the Word of God, which the Spirit of God is incorporated in to the Word of God, and life, eternal life, is incorporated within it as well. Now, that means when we are born again of the Spirit, that if you truly are of the Spirit, not only do you bear it daily, in other words, you put the cross, in other words, the Holy Spirit, to every temptation that comes your way, so not only do you bear it daily on a day-to-day basis and at all times, I'm talking about A-L-L, all times, because you say, well, but you know, after I hear these messages, some weaklings, they say, we just start losing our trust in the Lord, and we just yield to our weak and beggarly flesh, where it's already been told to me that Satan dwells in my flesh. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, I keep my flesh under the power of the Holy Spirit so that I don't yield to the lusts that are incorporated into my flesh. Now, in my flesh, I used to be, like you could say, some of the people say, I used to be a whoremonger, or I used to be a prostitute, or I wasn't even a prostitute. I used to give my body away to just anybody that wanted to have it. And that's what I want to do today, because I'm walking around with the Spirit of God in me, in the same flesh that I walked around in at the time before I was saved, when I was unsaved, and I was being led by the law of sin and death. I just was anybody's girl or anybody's boa. But we have to, when we come to the Lord, there was a young man that we're going to be talking about in this these scriptures, about his problem was is that he had a lot of money. And that really is bad too, because anyone that trusts in money, there's no possible way that they can enter the kingdom of God. Because money, that's not anything to trust in. But just yesterday it was that the stock market fell over 500 points and then finished off at 416 points down the tubes. And the people that were trusting in their money, many of them don't have any money anymore. But when you have the Spirit of God in you and you continuously on a day-to-day basis walk in the Spirit, denying yourself, your flesh, your rotten, decaying flesh, on a day-to-day basis and at all times, then we the riches may go, but we're still very rich, richer than any person on earth, any multi-billionaire, whether it be the Sultan of Brunei, or whether it be King Faisal of Saudi Arabia, or Alfred Bongo of Gabon, or any of these wealthy people, or this guy that discovered the chip. He may have money, and he may trust in money, but that's the wrong thing to trust in. I love to trust in the Lord, because I know that if I do that, that when everything is over with, no matter what I have to go through, and the breath goes out of my body, and I am there before the Lord, I'm saved. Amen?
Amen.
So there isn't anything that's richer than that in the entire universe. So on a day-to-day basis and at all times, we carry or bear the cross. We that are really fear of the Lord. That's the whole duty of man, you know, the Bible says, to fear God and keep his commandments. That's the conclusion of the entire matter of life here, in the life experience here in this world. But we also bear it everywhere, the cross, because there could be some interrupted situation happen around the corner today, or on the freeway today, wherever you might be, or in your office. A lot of people were in the World Trade Center. They were in their offices feeling very smug, drinking coffee, smoking cigarettes, laughing, joking, planning for a night out that night, and all of a sudden something interrupted the day on 9/11. They weren't going to live any longer. But, you know, if they were led by the Holy Spirit, they wouldn't have went into the building that day at all. If they were led by the Holy Spirit. Now, I knew that something was coming up, and I told everybody that the Vatican had prophesied that there was going to be some heavy terrorism in the early fall. And so I warned everybody. I told them, I know that the Vatican is going to be doing it because they're the one prophesying. If they can't prophesy and anything come true, especially in that manner, unless they themselves are doing it. Now, the Bible says that they're the mother. In other words, they're the ones that bring forth every evil thing that's happening on earth. There isn't any evil thing that's happening on earth that is not coming out of Satan and his seat, Rome. And his seat, Rome, is Satan from his seat in Rome, is governing or attempting to govern the whole world. But he's doing a very bad job of it. Things are getting worse and worse. Then you have these people that are running for president that are saying they're going to do this and that. There's nothing that they're going to do unless they say that they're going to put the United Nations out of this, that we're going to take ourselves, the United States of America, take ourselves out of the UN and declare a year of jubilee, which means that for the past 50 years that all of our debts are forgiven, because it was the Vatican that started the wars, according to God, God's word, and we don't owe that bill. They got us into the war, and all the wars, they are the ones that just had Bush and our boys go over there and bomb all these different countries. Same thing with Clinton. And that isn't any of the real, true blue American, red-blooded Americans' fault. We didn't create this. They did. And so we don't owe that bill. And people should pull out of the UN. If, of course, I'm not the Gentiles are attempting to run this world, and they are running it right into hell. And I don't want any part of it. What I'm trying to do is get everybody out of the world into the kingdom of heaven and not into hell. But anyway, we bear it everywhere, the cross. And we go, and in all places we take that cross. Because the Lord Jesus was the first one to bear the cross. All during the course of his life. And then, at the end of his life, he was crucified. So bearing the cross and being crucified is two different things. Now, with us, with Jesus, he bore the cross until he was crucified, and now when we accept the kingdom of heaven into us, which is the seven spirits of God, the intensified spirit of God, now it's just the opposite. We are crucified first, and then we bear the cross. The first thing that happens to us is we are crucified, and then we bear the cross for the rest of our lives. And if we don't, there's more condemnation on us than if we never had believed before. Because when a person says they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and then they drop the cross and decide to go back out into the world, it's better that you had never been born, because what you're doing is trampling the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ underfoot and putting him out to open shame. Now, the Bible is just riddled full of commandments, and they're explained in a very straightforward, plain, easy-to-understand fashion. So, the rest of our lives, we are to bear the cross. So the Lord bore the cross all his life. There was an invisible cross that was laid upon him. The cross was upon him all his life. The cross was upon him all his living days. And in his living every day, and in his work, and then in his death, he was crucified. Then he bore the visible cross on the way to Golgotha. You can read about that in John 19:17. Can you find that quickly enough to where it doesn't waste any time? John 19:17. He visibly carried the cross. Go ahead, read it real fast.
And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha.
So he was then, after bearing the cross, the invisible cross all of his life, like we are doing, he began to visibly carry the cross to Golgotha, until finally he was nailed to the cross. Now we're to be nailed to the invisible cross. The Lord not only bore the cross and endured the suffering, but he also endured death. Have you endured death to this world, to sin, Satan, the world, and your flesh, and yourself? Would you deny yourself all the lusts that are in your body? When you do, you're denying Satan. All right? It's to deny yourself. And yourself is the devil. If you want to get a good look at the devil, just go to the mirror and look in there. And that's what the Holy Spirit, why you have to have the Holy Spirit in you to keep that flesh under the subjection to the Holy Spirit, the intensified Holy Spirit. And that's the intensified Holy Spirit that we receive today when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's been happening for 2,000 years now. This is how we are able to be more than conquerors, because if God be with us, then no one could be against us. Because even if our body, which is worthless, which is the devil, which we have to keep under, you say, well, I don't want to think that I am the devil. The real you is your spirit. And you're not of the devil if you keep the Spirit of God mingled with your human spirit, because then that's when you become more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, is when the powerful, intensified Holy Spirit is living in and through you. And it's just, we have to concentrate on that. Amen?
Amen.
That's something that we have to do. It says we have to bear the cross. We have to keep the cross and make ourselves full of the Spirit, the powerful, intensified Spirit of God. Why? Because we're living during the hour of temptation. There's billions of temptations around us, but there's only one God, and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all flesh, is able to keep us walking the straight and narrow. Nothing else in the world can. So he endured death also. So he didn't want to. He despised the shame of the cross. And, you know, we're living, this intensified Holy Spirit also keeps us stable as we're being degraded, because the people that are of the world, the dead people, consider us the scum of the earth. Oh, they want to do everything they can to just make us the scum of the earth. So they use the news media to degrade us and to make us look like we're worse than them. Here they are bombing and murdering millions of people, even to the billions of them, and they're committing fornication and adultery every day, and they're pedophilia, bestiality. They delight in the flesh. They delight, they have fun in their weaknesses. They love to watch pornography. They love to murder. The Bible says, thou shalt not murder. It doesn't say, thou shalt not kill. We have to kill beef and chickens and turkeys and things like that to eat, get protein. And if somebody is attacking you, according to the Word of God, we can defend ourselves. We can pull people to the ground and have them arrested. And here we see Israel defending themselves. If somebody's attacking their the men, the women, children, they will kill you, because it doesn't. The original text says, "Not thou shalt not kill." It says, "Thou shalt not murder." That means to plan the demise of somebody. That means what the Vatican is doing today. They're the murderers. But oh, how they love to make Christians that are not doing any of these things, that we're not packing guns or any other kind of arsenal. And they're just, they let you know, these dead dogs, these Gentiles, that they got guns, they got flashlights, they got whistles, they got badges, and my God, we're going to make you do this and we're going to make you do that. They bear rule over the dogs. Some kind of, you know, powerful force, when in reality they're dead in their sins and trespasses, and they need to be saved. Amen? So we need to pray for them. Okay, so the Lord endured death. Although the Lord God took only the form of a sinful body without the reality of the flesh, He took only the form of a sinful body, but he he did have the reality of the flesh, but it was the spirit in him that did not allow his flesh to overpower the spirit of God that was in him. And although he himself is holy, yet he received the death of the cross for you and I, for our sins. And then once we're forgiven for sins, we also receive the power of God in us to be able to endure all things, even the degradation, even the power to not to keep our flesh under the power of God. Now that's really easy to understand, isn't it?
Yes.
There's nothing else that can give us the power to keep our flesh, the devil in our flesh, down. The power of the Holy Spirit holds the entire universe up. This world is sitting in space by the power of God. The Word of God is spirit in its life and its power. And Jesus is the Word of God, and all power, the Bible says, in heaven and on earth belongs to Him. So let's continue. And we allowed it to put Him to death. Now, of course, we didn't, but humanity did. Put Him to death. And at the last, in His death at Golgotha, He put His whole being to death. He did it. We have to put our whole being to death because the Holy Spirit is there, just like water in the faucet at your home, or bottled water, or anything in the refrigerator. You have to go get it unless you have somebody who's going to bring it to you. But the Lord wants us to take up the cross, our own cross, and follow Him. In other words, we must put ourselves to death, and the way we do that is to put ourselves under the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so now let's read some more of this, these verses here in the book of Mark, 10th chapter.
Verse 17, and when he, Jesus, was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?
Yeah, what may I do? Well, first of all, my son, you have to die. Yeah, amen. You have to be crucified. Amen. And then after this, you have to take up the cross and follow Jesus. Okay, keep going.
And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good?
Yeah, what he's saying here, he says there's only one that's good, and that's God. But what he's saying is, are you saying that I'm God? Do you really believe in your heart that I am the Almighty God, that God is in me, that the Father's in me? I want to know, why are you calling me God? Why? What's your reason? Do you believe? If you really believe that I'm God, then you can be saved. Amen?
Amen.
That's what he's saying. Okay, and then what?
And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God.
Yeah, and are you saying that I'm God? There's only one that's good, that's God. And then Philip asked him, show us the Father. He says, oh, have I been so long with you that you don't know that I'm the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? That the intensified Holy Spirit, the seven spirits of God are in me. That happened when he was baptized with the Holy Spirit in the River Jordan when John the Baptist, the minute he came up from his baptism, the intensification of the Holy Spirit came down upon him as a dove, in the form of a dove, as a spirit, just like in the upper room, the Spirit came down upon the people that were there, the 120, as a fire, like the tongues of fire. Amen?
Amen.
They were filled and they spoke in other tongues. Well, Jesus had the intensification of the Holy Spirit, and so God was in him. Amen?
Amen.
And he was human flesh, too. He was the Adam was the first Adam, and Jesus, in the flesh, Adam was the first Adam. And in the flesh, Jesus was the last Adam. Amen?
Amen.
Because the first one fell away. But who is the good and faithful servant of the Lord? Who is the one that really brought forth, kept every commandment of the Lord? Because just disobeying the Lord by eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is the thing that caused all of humanity You say, well, that's just one little commandment. Why would God? Because he's God, and he must be obeyed if you want immortal, if you want his immortal life, because those are the rules that he made up. Those are his ground zero rules. There's never disobey him. You are to believe him. And if you believe him, you'll do what he says. He said, you are my friend if you do everything I say. That's what it is. Well, of course, people here in the world are so used to lying to one another. They just figure that these are just words. But these are the words of God, not human words. They're the words of God. And you don't disobey God. Not unless you want to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Well, who's able to do this? Nobody pure perfect? Oh, yes, they are. The 8th chapter of the book of Romans says that all those that walk not after the flesh but in the Spirit are not condemned. It says it this way. There is therefore now no condemnation, absolutely no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh but after the intensified Holy Spirit of God living in and through them. You can't sin if it's God moving, making every move in you. Then, therefore, if there's no condemnation, my friend, you are perfect. So don't let these false prophets tell you that you can't be perfect. They say it this way. No one is perfect. You can't be perfect. Don't believe Charles Stanley. And don't believe him that God loves you unconditionally, because with God all things are conditional. He says, if you will do, if it's a little word but it's got a big meaning, you are my friend if you do everything I say. But you're not my friend. He says, my sheep follow me everywhere I go. That means they can't, no one can follow Jesus unless you're totally endued with the intensified spirit of the living God. And there's so many rough times that happen in a Christian life, and the degradation that you receive, you need all this power of God. You need God himself living in you, because Jesus was degraded more than anybody on the face of this earth, and they're still degrading him. This History Channel and all these other idiots, these demons, devil-possessed people, that are coming out saying all these fallacies about them. They have nothing. They don't have eternal life. They don't have anything in them of God. And Jesus had nothing in him of Satan. So he's not like you devils out there. Okay? You devils need to repent. The devils that are in you need to be cast out of you and into hell. You don't need demons in you. You hear people now that things are so far gone that they say, well, these are my demons. They like boasting that having demons is wonderful. You will not boast of demons when you're frying in the lake of fire. I mean, you won't boast, oh, these are my demons. You're so proud of them that they took you to hell. No, you must be rid of them. You're not smart, you're stupid to say something like that. Every time I hear somebody saying something like that, I just can't believe it, that they're that stupid. Okay, keep reading.
Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother.
Now, honor your father and mother, you know what that means? That means live a Christian life so that your mother and father will be honored by people. Amen?
Amen.
So do what I say, and you will be giving honor to your mother and father. And how many people are doing that today? Crime has risen to 150% out in the valley here in Los Angeles and in every part of the world. And so what you need to do is, if you want to stop this, you need to get the Holy Spirit in you and start being led by it and start getting this word out. And if you don't know how to preach or pray, you can learn how to pray, and you learn eventually maybe how to preach, but you've got my literature that you can distribute everywhere, and people get saved when they read it. All right?
Amen.
All right, then what else? And they stop sinning when that happens. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 20. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth.
Yeah, he's done everything that he thought was good. Then he's lacking something, though. And what does the Lord say he's lacking?
Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him.
Loved him means he executed the word of God on him. Okay, so don't turn that around like the Lord was a homosexual, because the Lord promises to send every homosexual to hell, and he's not a hypocrite. All right?
Amen.
Every homosexual, unrepentant homosexual is going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. So, you know, you think you're having fun here, but this is a short life, he's out there. But eternity is forever. And if you think that's pleasant, keep that on your mind every time you're committing your disgusting choice of sexual relationship, choosing the same gender just to flaunt in the eyes of God and people that we're disobeying God. He said to be fruitful and multiply, and now look at us, we're not going to obey God. You put his word, you set him at naught. Jesus said, yeah, they are going to set me at naught. They're going to set me as nothing. They're going to spit on me. They're going to beat me. They're going to crucify me to the cross. And then I'm going to die, and then I'm going to raise from the dead to show you that you dogs can't harm me eternally.
Amen.
But I, God, can harm you eternally. So be careful if you're trying to harm me and mine, the people that I live in, because he who laughs last laughs best. Now, are you saying God laughs? Am I saying that God laughs at you when you're going into hell? Yes, he does. Read the first chapter of Proverbs.
Amen.
He gets a kick out of seeing those of you that are so haughty and high-minded and so sinful. He gets his kicks watching you go into hell. He laughs at you and mocks at you. So he who laughs last is the one that laughs best. You're laughing now. You're stupid, and you're a fool if you say there's no God, because you'll soon find out that there is. Life, temporal life, is very short. But eternal life is forever. Okay, go ahead, finish.
One thing thou lackest.
One thing? One thing and one thing only? Is that all? Oh, that's nothing, just one thing. That's what Eve thought. Amen?
Amen.
Just one thing? I mean, just eat a piece of fruit from off the tree. And you're going to send, I'm going to die for that? Yeah? Uh-huh. You can't, is she around anymore today? No, she's been gone for years. Thousands of years. Okay, then what?
Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt...
Now that means there's a structure on how you're supposed to give to the poor. That is to give to the people that are getting the gospel out, that are spending millions of dollars on radio, television, and not just television, because we're not on TV anymore. But we put out millions of dollars worth of literature on the streets, and we give out millions of dollars worth of Bibles and Messiah books and literature and CDs and audio tapes free of charge. Give to us that are in this world, we're just spending it on the Lord, okay? Because when we get the gospel to the people out there, the people that are lost are the poor and needy. Amen?
Amen.
So you could give it to a bunch of devils that are don't have any money, and you wouldn't be giving to the poor and needy. You'd be giving to people that think they're rich and that they're smart. And then God has taken their provisions away from them in an attempt to get them to repent from their sins so that they can be have everything that they need. Not everything they want, but everything they need. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, continue on.
And thou shalt have treasure in heaven.
Yeah, so sell what you have and give to the ministry, and then you're going to have your treasures, all kinds of treasures that no one can take away in heaven because there's not going to be any thieves there. Then what?
And come, take up the cross.
Take up the cross. In other words, take up your death, because the cross is meant not to suffer, but to die.
Amen.
Okay? Come on and die out to this world, into your life, your own life, yourself, your flesh, the devil that's in your flesh, and come on and follow me. Okay? Then what?
And follow me. Verse 22, and he was sad at that saying.
He was so sad that you have to give up something of the flesh of this world to get into heaven. Isn't that stupid?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And he went away grieved, for he had great possessions.
But that same day, God could have taken it all away by just touching it. That's it. So he sold his soul for goods. Then what?
And Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words.
Yeah, because, read that again.
And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?
Keep going.
And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered them again and said unto them,
The word is trust in riches. Okay, go ahead.
Children, how hard is it for them that
trust in riches. This man that trusted in his riches forfeited immortality. And the Lord, he's trusting in riches, but riches can fly away like an eagle. Amen?
Amen.
They can just take off and leave you, just like it did these people in the stock markets today and yesterday. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so don't trust in riches. Invest in the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, you say, oh, you're hustling money. No, I'm not. I own a Beatles album that's probably worth between $50 and $100 million. If that's what I was after, I've never sold that and I never will. I'm not in the ministry for money. I have that album. And we've gone through some rough times by not selling that album, but the Lord told me not to do it. And so there isn't enough pieces that you could cut me into to cause me to do anything that the Lord told me not to do. Okay, and then finish off.
Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God.
Yeah, one that trusts in their riches. If you trust in riches, you never could go to heaven. Now, to be rich and to spend it on the Lord, that's something else. That's not sin. Okay, then what?
And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible.
Okay, so the Lord knew that, and that's why he gave his life. He knew that the Lord was going to raise him up from the dead. And you need to know that too, enough to where you'll completely walk by the Spirit and turn down the things of this world. Well, I see my time is up right now, and so those of you that you want to trust in things in this world, you can, because you've got a will. You can will to do your will, or you can will to do the Lord's will. And you don't know, trusting in your own temporal life, you might die tonight. You may die 5 minutes from now. You don't know. And so the best thing for you to do, the only thing for you to do, is to ask the Lord to enter into you. And you can do that now. And he will, if you just say this prayer to him. Say to him, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus, the human body of Jesus, the last Adam's body, the human body of the last Adam, Jesus. I believe that you, Father God, raised him from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. I want you in me. I want that intensified power of God in me. And Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word is God, and God never lies. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know that you've answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up in praise and thank the Lord. If you're not driving, pull over if you're driving. Now make sure that you get baptized in water, fully submerged, and that you get baptized with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, and here's Sharon to tell you how you can receive an audio copy, a tape, or a CD of Program 334.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for another powerful message of life eternal in Jesus' name. And here's the H.B. Barnum's fabulous choir, the Life Choir, singing Life Prayer Song.